I heard the Lord's voice. God came in and he spoke to me. He said, my son, I'm proud of you and I love you. I looked over my shoulder because I thought someone was in the car, and I realized it was God.
I'm Adira Polite, and this is Then God Moved. Hello, it's been a minute, but I'm back. And today's a very special day because I have Jason McCarthy here. He is a defender for the British soccer team, the Wycombe Wanderers. Now, if you've listened to other episodes, you might know that I interviewed Jason's teammate, Alex Samuel, about a year ago, actually. It's episode 4 of Then God Moved. And you should really go listen to that before this. You'll see why later. So if you haven't listened to that episode, pause this, go listen to episode number 4, and then come back. But for the rest of you, let's get into it. Thanks so much for being here. I heard about you through your teammate, Alex Samuels.
Yeah. So Alex just told me about you guys as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's amazing what you're doing with the page, and it's just incredible.
Thank you. Thanks for the encouragement. So I saw your post. I saw your Instagram post. You said that things changed for you 3 years ago. So we'll get into that story. But just for the listeners, I'm here with Jason McCarthy. He is a soccer, and I guess in the UK, you say football player for the Wycombe Wanderers. I know that you're married. You have a kid.
Yeah. So, I got married literally, I think it was 3 weeks after I got saved.
Wow.
No, 3 weeks after my wife got saved, which is a whole nother story. I'm sure we'll get into that at some stage. But I've got 2 children. I have a son called George, who's 2, just literally turned 2. And I have a daughter called Elsie, who is nearly 3 months. And yeah, no one in my family is saved. So yeah, it's been a crazy ride the last 3 years.
I can imagine. Were you raised as an atheist?
I wouldn't say I'm atheist. So my dad was raised a Catholic. So he knows a lot of scripture, my dad. Mm-hmm. He believes in God. I wouldn't say there's like that daily like relationship. But God's definitely doing something within my dad, so I'm excited to see what's going to happen with that. I still wouldn't say he was like a massive fan of like when I got born again. It was like a big change, and obviously for them seeing their son completely change personality, really. I wouldn't say I was raised an atheist. I would say it was very open, but also probably not, because I think if anyone said they did believe in God, there would be a little bit like, well, why do you believe that? So,
Interesting. So you said your personality changed when you met the Lord. How did this all happen? And was it public? Was this when you were with Wycombe Wanderers?
Yeah. So the best way to describe me like before I would say was I was very like self-centered, I would say, like in terms of my football. I was just in it for myself. I wanted to make some good money, and I wanted to have a good career and play at a high level. It was all like pride, like because I thought it would make me feel good, and I thought it would, you know, justify the sacrifice I'd done to sort of get there anyway, like to a decent level. I had no sort of concept of what was like right and what was wrong. Like I used to go out partying a lot. I would lie to people close around me. I didn't really think anything too much of it, but sort of got to a stage in my life where I was at a certain club when I was at, I was like far away from where I was born. So like I was born down the south of England, and I was playing for a club like right up the north, and like in my football career everything was going really, really well. So I was going like through the leagues, and I was gonna like, it was like speculated that I was going to go to like the Premier League, which is like the top division, which was like is everything I wanted to do. And like I had like just a crazy like 6 months. I like came out of the team, like 2 people close to me passed away. So It was my uncle and my granddad, who I was quite close with. Like, my uncle was like a famous boxer, so he was like the family hero, if you like.
Mm.
And we had a close relationship because he sort of saw me as like sort of keeping the legacy going in a way. Mm. So that really hit me hard when he passed away, and his was like sudden. So I was like grieving, and I was away from my family. I had no sort of sense of like comfort, and my God at the time was football.
Mm.
And that got snatched away from me because I wasn't playing in the team. So I had nothing. Like, it felt like I had nothing. Like, I had no joy. I had no peace. I didn't want to go into football every day. I just wanted to stay at home and like be asleep. I just wanted to go to sleep, like, and just not do anything.
Wait, why were you not playing at this point?
Like, just fell out of favor with the manager. The manager like was just like, I want to play this guy. Like, that happens in football. Like, football's a game of opinions. So this manager just didn't want to play me. So yeah, like I said, there was lots going on. I got held at knife point that year. I got like assaulted really in a nightclub. Lots of bad things were happening. And like, up to this point, I'd had a really good upbringing. I wouldn't say I was brought up in like a bad environment. Mom and dad had good jobs, went to a good school. Football went well. Like, I was living the dream, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I just had like the worst 6 months ever. And I ended up getting transferred to Wycombe Wanderers.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there was such a fear. So football was going well again. I was back playing in the team. But there was like a fear in the back of my mind. Like, if you come out of the team, or if something bad happened, how are you going to like react again? Like, how are you going to, because the last time wasn't pretty, like when it happened last time. So like, if anything bad happens, like, what are you going to do? There was like no anchor. There was like nothing. So I remember I was having lunch one day, and Alex Samuel and another guy called Ben Fremper were having like lunch across from me in the canteen where we eat at football. And they were talking about Jesus.
Mm.
And I wasn't involved in the conversation. I was kind of like pretending I was listening to a conversation over here. I was listening to them talk, and I couldn't believe how real it was to them. Like, how they were talking about the Lord was like they were talking about like another person at the time. That's how I explain it. Like, like this person's real. And I was like, wow, like, that's like faith. I've never heard like people talk about like that about God. Mm. I find something I want to share as well. So there was a guy when I was in that team up north who shared the gospel with me. So he planted the seed. So that's why I want to relate it back to scripture as well. So this guy planted the seed like within me. But I didn't know that at the time. There was no fruit from that, like at that time. So yeah, these guys were talking about Alex and another guy, both really close friends of mine now. They're talking about the gospel. They were talking about Jesus. I ended up asking him a few questions. We were talking. I was really interested. We sat there for a while and we spoke about Jesus. And Alex said to me, well, we can't sit here all day. Like, we've got to go train. Like, do you want to go for a coffee like sometime and speak about it? And I was like, yeah. Like, but it was like, I thought it was like an empty offer. The next day, Alex went to him and was like, do you want to go for a coffee today? And I was like, all right, I've got nothing else to do. Like, let's do it. So we went for a coffee, me, him, and this other guy, Ben. They shared their testimonies with me. I was took back, and they had me. Like, I was so interested.
Mm.
And we ended up, well, let's do this once a week. Honestly, the next month, I think we went for a coffee every day possible we could. Wow. And because I just wanted to hear more. Like, there was a real hunger in me.
Mm.
I was like, wow, like, this, something's happening here. Like, I started to think, I think I do believe this. Like, Alex bought me a Bible. I started reading some of the Bible. I started praying. Things started happening. Like, God was answering my prayers. I was like, wow. Like, wow. Started to feel this comfort, this peace.
Mm. Do you remember what you were praying and what the Lord responded? Like, do you remember how he answered those prayers?
Not really. Okay. But I did have a pivotal moment. So on my days off, I like to go swimming. It's like a hobby of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the way to go swimming, and I had a song on Ben sent me, that other guy. It was a gospel song. I can't remember it, but I was listening to it, and it was like the first time I kind of listened to that sort of music, and I was like, it's all right. Like, I don't mind it. Like, it's quite good. And I heard the Lord's voice. God came in and he spoke to me, and he just said, my son, I'm proud of you and I love you. And it was lit. I promise you, I looked over my shoulder because I thought someone was in the car. Like, the first moment was like a real, like, who's in the car? Like, and I realized it was God, and I just pulled over. I started crying, and I just, like, the rest of the day was like a write-off from there. I couldn't believe, like, what I just experienced. I just remember that night I, like, knelt down on my beside my bed, and I can't remember the prayer, but I gave my life to the Lord. Like, and I was just like, I believe he died for me on the cross, and you rose again, and, like, I give my life to you. And that was, like, the moment. I think, to answer your question, if it was public, I think it was, because there was, like, a real quick change with me in terms of, like, just me. I was really vocal about it, because I'm a much all or nothing sort of character, and that's how God's made me, because he knew that I was going to come to him and I'd be all in. And so from that moment, I was telling everyone. I didn't really know how to tell people.
Yeah.
Like, my wife is a great example of how I, like, used to share with my wife. I look back now and I think, like, not what was I doing, but, like, you could have maybe explained that a bit better. So yeah, I would say it was public, and I let it be known that I was telling everyone I was saved. My family, like, what does saved mean? Like, and stuff like that. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how do you explain what you went through? Like, what did you even say to them, especially your wife?
So with my wife, like, she wasn't my wife at the time. We were engaged. So I told her everything. I told her what had happened to me. I told her I wanted to start going to church. She was just like, do you know what? My wife's amazing. And she was even amazing then. She was like, do you know what? It's good for you, like, and that's cool. So, like, you go and do what you need to do. And if it's making you feel good, like, I support you and stuff like that. But, like, I'm good, I'm all right. And I was like, right, okay, like, no worries. But I kept sharing with my wife. This went on for about 3 months. And I could see it starting to annoy her. Like, and I remember I came home from church one day and I got a prophetic word. It was like the first word I'd ever got. And I shared it with my wife and she just burst into tears.
Was it about her? Was that prophetic word about her?
No, she burst into tears because she couldn't believe what I'd become. So she was like, she was so upset. And she had like a list on her phone prepared of like everything that was wrong with what I was doing. Like changing personality, don't know who I am anymore. She was worried I'd joined some like strange group.
Like, cult, right?
Yeah, like something like that. I was really worried for like our relationship, like really worried. I just said to her, I remember I was saying to her, like, do you know what? I'll pull back a bit on what like I share with you and stuff. But I hope over time you'll just see like the change in me. A good change. You through that, you'll see God. So I was praying for my wife all the time in the secret place. Like, I was praying for her salvation. I thought it was going to take years. And I was still worried for our relationship. And there was things that I had to navigate through that as well. And I was just like, well, Lord, how do I deal with this? If Zara doesn't believe, how do I deal with this? If Zara doesn't believe, like, she was pregnant at the time. So all this happened like before I knew the Lord. So we were engaged and she was pregnant before I even knew the Lord. So I was having a kid come into the world. And I was like, how am I going to raise a kid? Like, I believe, and she doesn't. Like, so conflicting. And then this went on, like I said, for about 3 or 4 months. And then out of nowhere, my wife started asking questions out of nowhere. And, I could see that God was doing something within my wife. And she, long story short, one night she had a dream. There was a few things before this. God was like showing her things, but it still wasn't enough. Like, for example, we had like a big game at Wycombe Wanderers. and we had to win to like stay in the division. And I take like free kicks. And I said to her, I think like before the game, she like said a prayer, like I would score the winning free kick.
Like, wait, what?
So she said like a prayer, like before the game, like okay. I would score the winning free kick, almost to like try and like see if like maybe like willy nilly she said it, but not really like seeing that it would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I scored the winning free kick and we won 1-0 and we stayed in the division.
Wow.
So that was like her first ever prayer. Like she told me after the game, but she still was like, well, like, oh my, I was like, Lord, more, like more.
Yeah.
She had a dream one night. So the Lord awoke her from her sleep, and she heard the voice saying, like, read Edison 91.
Mm.
So she Googled it, and it was like a football player called Edison, and it was like an article how he was a big Christian and his favorite scripture is Psalm 91, favorite chapter. So my wife, so her mum was like a drug addict, and she was addicted to drugs when Zara was in the womb. So everyone was saying that Zara, my wife, was going to have like issues, like problems when she come out of the womb. And because like that's what happens when someone who's addicted to drugs, right? And she came out, nothing wrong with her. Like, she's absolutely fine. And there was crazy stories of when my wife was held captive at, like, drug dens while her mum went and got money for deals, like, when she was, like, really, really young. So, like, bad things probably should have happened. But obviously Psalm 91, we know, is like a chapter about protection.
Right.
And about how no deadly disease would come near her. She read this scripture, and then God like did something like in her mind. She had like a vision. God showed her all the horrible moments in her life, and was telling her that He'd been with her in every single moment. In that morning, I woke up and she told me what had happened, and she gave her life to the Lord.
Wow! 3 weeks before you got married.
So we were due to get married 2 summers later. We had a big wedding booked in Barbados. We'd sent invites out. Like, it was booked. Deposit was down. Everything. And then my wife got saved and she told me, we have to get married now. So,
what?
Because obviously, like, she knew we couldn't be living in sin. She was like, we need to get married now. Like, so the church I was going to, now she started going to, we spoke to the pastor and he said, let's like, we'll do it. Like, we'll get it done. So 3 weeks later, literally, I think it was a week after my son was born, such a big time. So many things were happening.
Yeah.
We got married and we canceled our wedding, which brought up loads of questions. My family were like, what are you doing? Like, and we obviously explained what had happened and they were just like, They're like loopy over there. Like, what's going on?
Right. They're like, she fell into the cult also.
Yeah.
Man, wow. It's beautiful that the Lord opened her eyes in a way that was so personal to her. It was like you were praying, obviously, for her to meet the Lord. And you had your own reasons. Obviously, you love her. And so you want her to know the Lord. But you're also concerned about your children and all these things. But it wasn't just like he just made her decide to start believing. It was like he showed her his deep love for her and how long he'd been loving her and how long he'd been protecting her. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's so true. Like, God is so personal. Like, I couldn't have done that on my own strength.
Yeah,
like, it was purely God's grace. I was saved by grace. And yeah, like you said, it was amazing. I don't know where I would be without God. I'd hate to think.
So how do you deal with the temptations that come with the lifestyle of the football player? Because you were talking about before how you were seeking success and it was for yourself. How has that changed now that you know the Lord?
Well, like I said, like, I'm very much an all-in, all-or-nothing, like, character. So, like, when I was reading the Bible, a lot of people have a lot of questions about like certain bits when they get born again, right? They're mm-hmm. like, yeah, but like, what about this bit? Like, I'm going to struggle. And not to say I don't, I have my struggles, but like, I immediately stopped drinking.
Mm.
And because I was hanging around with people like Alex and Ben, their motives were so different to the people I was hanging around with before. And every time like I did go out, like I had no buzz like I did before. Like I didn't enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's how God works, man. He'll take away the desire. He will ruin your night out. It's just like, this is not fun anymore.
I was like, I don't want to be here. Like, this is not cool. Like, so it was like it was a natural process, really. Like, I love being at church. Like, and I love being around my brothers and my sisters and praying, like, and seeing, like, hearing what God was doing in their life and things like that. So, like, I would say it was a quick transformation. Like, a lot of it was like, I immediately stopped swearing. That was one thing that like everyone picked up on, because before I would swear quite a bit, like, but I immediately stopped swearing. That was the Holy Spirit. Like, there was, I could not explain that. And then in terms of like, you were talking about like temptation, like in terms of, I don't know, women and stuff like that. The enemy tried to come in maybe 6 months in and like really tried to bring up the past shame. And like, I went into kind of like a wilderness, I would say, like where the enemy really came in and like tried to bring in a lot of condemnation on me. It was like a month process, I would say. I just remember it because it was a real spiritual battle for me. And I just remember going through that and God completely setting me free of that stuff. Just completely showing me that I am forgiven, like, and I am a new creation. And God has taught me how to take thoughts captive and really show me where my identity is. It's in Him. Whenever them thoughts like try and come in, like, always remind myself of what God says about me. And that's all that matters at the end of the day. The enemy is a liar.
A fat liar. Yep.
Yeah.
So what does it look like to take your thoughts captive? I feel like that's something that we as Christians talk about a lot. And like, obviously it's in scripture, but I feel like a non-believer or a new believer may not know what it means to take your thoughts captive. And like, practically speaking, how do you actually do that?
Yeah. So for example, I guess it's best to, like you say, explain it practically. For example, if I'm on the football pitch or soccer pitch, I missed a shot, like the immediate thoughts will try and be like, how did you miss that? You're not going to get another chance. We all deal with that. It could be in any like aspect. Like, there's so many voices, we only need to listen to one. Right. But there's so many things that will try and come in, like, and try and take you away in that moment. So for that example, I would just, in that moment, I don't do this every time, but when I do take my thoughts captive, I would say, Lord, I thank you so much that you've created me to be a footballer and I'm on this pitch to glorify you. Whether I miss this shot or whether I score it, you still love me and that's all that matters. And I'm son. In Jesus' name, amen. And then all of a sudden you're like, I'm loved. I'm, you know, he still loves me even though I missed this shot, you know, and you've allowed me to be on this pitch. It's amazing anyway, you know what I mean? So it's just always bringing it back to what God's saying and not what the other voices are saying, I think.
That's good. And it's just, you're reminding yourself of where your value actually comes from, which is Him and not how well you do on the pitch, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's so true.
That's really, really good. Because it's very easy, I think, in sports, but also in school. I'm in seminary right now, and it's very easy to kind of fall into the lie that my worth comes from the grades I get, or God will love me more if I get good grades. And it's like, no, God already loves me. There's a song, it's Gyra, and it's, the opening line is, I've never been more loved than I am right now. And I love
that song
so much. Yeah, you know it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that song.
I love that song too. Like, he is just so, so loving, and it's not in a worldly way. Because even our parents, like our own parents, you know, as great as they may be, as godly as they might be, it can sometimes feel like their love is conditional or they love us more, express their love more when we're doing really well. But God is just totally almost the opposite. At least in my life, I feel his love so much more when I'm really depending on him and I'm really turning to him, which usually is when I'm failing, you know.
So true. I sent it today to him. Like, his love is outrageous. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. It's outrageous.
It is. That's a good word. That's a good word for it. It really is. Wow. So when I was talking to Alex, he was kind of talking about how it seems like there's somewhat of a domino effect happening on your team where it's like more and more people are starting to see the Lord and see his goodness. Have you seen that too?
Yeah, it's been so exciting. Like, so for Alex, you've heard his story. Like,
yeah.
God brought him to Wickham and like told him that this was going to happen. And obviously I was the first one. There was a goalie who was very quickly behind me. And then this just past season, there's been loads of guys. Like, there's been, I think, four guys from, like, the reserve team.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, two who want to get baptized. They're getting baptized, like, I think next month or the month after, which is just awesome. And then it's so strange. So, like, I would say out of every three players that we sign for Wickham Wanderers, one of them's a believer. Like, it's mad.
Wow.
It's so crazy. And that's not normal in England, by the way. Yeah. Like, it's like an open door for like believers here.
Mm.
Like, so they come in and they strengthen, like they strengthen our pack. And we've got, you probably have heard of him, like Adebayo Akinfenwa, like our striker. He's like really famous. He's played for Wickham for ages. I think he's got like over 2 million followers like on Instagram.
Oh, wow.
So, but it's like, it's not through football. It's because he like lifts loads of weights. So he's like the strongest footballer in England or something.
So, so like, he's attractive is what you really mean. He's a good looking.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
And people go crazy for him. Like, obviously he's got a big platform as well and he's a believer. So yeah, it's just incredible what the Lord's doing at Wickham and what he's done. It's amazing.
So if you were looking back at your younger self or someone like you who just doesn't believe and maybe they were raised like you were, where it's like kind of open, you're hearing a little bit about God, but your family is not believing, what would you say to them? Because this podcast, this platform is really geared towards those who don't know of God's goodness, or if they have heard about it, it never has been real to them.
So do you know what I've like experienced is that over time where my family, for example, as you were talking about, have seen that this isn't just a flash in the pan. And this is like a huge part of my life. It is my life. But they've seen that it is a big part of my life and it's something that's not going away. And something that I'm happy talking about, something that I like to talk about, and they're changing me. They actually respect me for it because I stand for something. I stand for something and I believe in something and they see the fruit of it. I would say I was going along with the world and I felt like nobody heard me. I felt like nobody respected me. I just felt like everyone else. But in God, I feel so unique and I feel like I do have purpose and I do have something that people need to listen to and something I want to talk about and something that a lot of people want to hear.
Yeah.
And because people want to hear hope. People want to hear the good news. You turn on and watch the news, it's the bad news.
Right.
But we've got the good news.
Yes.
Like, I really believe that over time, maybe not at first, but over time, people respect me for my faith. And I'm not doing it for that. But what I'm saying is that they see something different. So not to be ashamed, you know, of being different. Is what I would say.
Amen to that. That is something I think about so often when it just comes to our witness. And it seems to me like, I mean, when Alex first told me that there was this domino effect happening on your team, I wasn't really surprised because y'all are so close to one another. Like, you literally are doing life together. And if they're able to see that something weird in you, that something strange, there's something, you know, there's something weird about Alex or something weird about Jason, why are they so joyful? You know, things in the world are bad. Why do they have this light in them? And if they can see that, and if you are naming it as Jesus, it's not surprising that they then are seeking him too. That's really awesome. And that's important. Don't be afraid of being different. Have you seen The Chosen, the TV show?
I love The Chosen. Yeah. I think me and my wife have cried at every episode. Yeah. Like, seriously. Yeah.
It's so good. And that tagline, get used to different. When Jesus said that, I was like, yes, exactly. Get used to different.
I love that line. How good is The Chosen?
Like, so good, man.
It's so good. I'm like waiting. I'm like refreshing. Like, when's the next episode like coming?
Right? It is. Yeah. Oh, man, it's so, so good. Wow. Well, this has been incredible. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here.
No, honestly, it's a pleasure. So thank you for having me.
As always, if you enjoyed this episode, please do us a favor and leave us a rating and a review. And please feel free to send any questions or comments to thengodmoved@gmail.com.